Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read one verse, verse number 8 in Philippians chapter 4. Page 1260, if you have a Scofield Bible, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I think I'll go back to verse number 7. I like that so well. Let's start with verse number 6 in chapter 2. Philippians 4, 6 is where we're going to start. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Now, this is the way that you are careful for nothing, and in the way that you have the peace of God in the other two verses. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, God is telling us here the subjects on which we ought to think if we're thinking about these subjects with virtue and praise. Now, I want you to notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Page 1270, just 10 pages farther over. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That means completely. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to talk tonight on the subject. I'm going to get in the medical profession a little bit tonight. I believe every doctor here will agree with everything I say. I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, needless doctor bills. Needless doctor bills. Our Heavenly Father, bless our study tonight. And I pray you help us as we examine the Word of God. Thou hast something for us here. May we learn it carefully and live by it. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, Father, here's the Bible, and we're thy people. And this is thy book, and we're your children, and we have a right to know it, understand it. So I pray you to help the Holy Spirit help us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Please help us tonight. Amen. Now I want you to follow me as I talk to you a little bit. If I could have a doctor stand here tonight and speak to you that could add years to your life, every one of you would listen intently and carefully and want to know what he said. If I had someone tonight who had proved that you could be much healthier, and if I had somebody tonight who could tell you that they could give you something that would help you to have 50% less chance of having cancer, everybody here would listen intently. And if you could be convinced, you'd abide by what he said. Now, the Bible's a book that covers body, soul, and spirit. The soul is the dwelling place of the spirit. The body is the dwelling place of the soul. The soul lives in the body. The spirit lives in the soul. That means if we're going to have a good house for a healthy spirit, we have to have a healthy soul. If we're going to have a good house for a healthy soul, we have to have a healthy body. And so that the three are certainly interwoven in the Scripture, and Paul told the people of Thessalonica that he wanted God to preserve them a blameless body, soul, and spirit until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now follow me. I've been stressing often lately the mind as a computer. How that when a person listens to something or sees something, He is programming the original computer after which the computers are copied and made that we have in our stores, our homes, and our businesses. Now, there are many reasons why people are not healthy. One of these is because our minds are not healthy. Jesus said, Paul said, think on these things. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good report, and so forth. He said, if there be any virtue and any praise, think on these things. Now, I'm not saying that. Please don't misunderstand me. Every time I teach along this line at all, somebody feels like, well, I've got a certain awful disease and it must be caused by a certain sin. No. Sin, a disease and sickness is not always caused by the sin of the sufferer or by the sin of the loved ones of the sufferer. It is God's judgment. Sin is God's judgment. Bad health is God's judgment. Sometimes bad health is God's preparation for some work he wants us to do. Sometimes bad health is God's testing us. And oftentimes bad health is for the glory of God. And as was the case of the blind man. Yet, the truth is, one of the main causes for illness is wrong attitudes or wrong spirits or wrong disposition. You'd be shocked if you knew how many people tonight are not well and how many, you'd be shocked if you knew, and I'd be shocked if I knew perhaps, how many tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars in doctor bills are spent by people sitting right here in this room tonight. Whose illness was caused by a wrong mental attitude. Now, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible like John 3:16 is in the Bible. Now, I'm going to start off with the most famous verse of all, which you know well. And I want you to open your Bibles to it and keep your Bibles open. Proverbs chapter 17 and the very famous verse 22. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 22. We'll be looking at a lot of verses tonight, so keep your Bibles open. Use them with us, please, if you would. Read verse 22 of Proverbs 17 aloud. Ready? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Now, I want you to look at me for a minute. Let me tell you something. It doesn't say a merry heart doeth good like an orange. It doesn't say a merry heart doeth good like a carrot. It doesn't say a merry heart doeth good like carrot juice. Doesn't say a merry heart doeth good like vegetables. It says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Now, medicine is not preventive. Medicine is curative. That means that people can be cured of illnesses by having a merry heart. We say, oh, a merry heart will keep you well. It's not what it says there. It says a merry heart will make you well when you're sick. Doeth good like a medicine. A merry heart is curative. It is a health-aiding agency, the Bible says. One scientist said, one in four Americans has a physical illness caused by his disposition. Dr. Lawrence DeShan said, you can fight for your life. Listen to what he said. This is a cancer specialist. 76% of cancer patients have a history of isolation, neglect, and despair. Did you hear what he said? 76% of cancer patients have a history of isolation, neglect, or despair. Dr. D.M. Kyson said, and he's also a cancer specialist, said, the difference between smokers who get cancer and those who do not get cancer are almost always emotional differences. In one of the leading cancer centers in the world, and I'm not talking about what some folks would call a quack. I think personally, a lot of the quacks are in the American Medical Association. But and that's, I didn't say all of them are quacks. I think my mama had some pretty good stuff that AMA hadn't found out about yet. But in one of the leading cancer medical centers in the world, they use as a cure for cancer fighting resentment, fighting a lack of forgiveness, frustration, and any talk that is negative, whether you speak it or hear it. And cancer researchers have found that people who listen to negative talk, whether true or false, or give negative talk, whether true or false, are more cancer prone than people that listen to and give positive talk. Many studies have proved that quarrels between expecting parents affects the health of the fetus. Bible says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Now, merry heart doeth good to whom like a medicine? Both people. A person that has a merry heart, person that stays around folks have a merry heart, which means that as sure as I am standing behind this pulpit, if you have a merry heart, it'll help you physically. It'll save you money on doctor bills. Of course, you don't believe this, or you'd never gossip again. You would. I'm serious. You don't believe it. You don't believe the Bible. I mean, you're an atheist. You don't believe the Bible. If you believed that a merry heart do good like a medicine, you would never say again, oh, is that so? Did you hear? I'm saying the truth is, right here, the Bible says it makes you healthier. Now, if you believed it, you'd work on getting a merry heart. Remember this, I said a while ago. The body is the dwelling place of the soul, and the soul the dwelling place of the spirit. And there's no way in the world that the health of your body can help but affect the health of your soul. And there's no way in the world but that the health of your soul affects the health of your body and the spirit. Now, follow me. The soul is the key here. The body does not affect the spirit because the soul touches both. You see, the soul is like Jesus in the Trinity, God and man. See, God and man needed the God-man in order for them to be brought together. Now, the soul is the God-man of the human being. The soul touches the body in that the body is its dwelling place. And then, in turn, the soul touches the spirit in that the soul is the dwelling place of the spirit. And that's why the merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I want to show you some scriptures tonight, and these are very plain, but I want you to follow me carefully. And I want you to look for something in these verses that seem, where each, all the verses seem to have something in common. I want you to look for it. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 24. Proverbs 16. I want you to follow me in the Bible. It'll add some years to your life if you'll follow and do what it says. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 24. Read it out loud, please. Ready? Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Now, as a honeycomb, anybody that knows anything about health knows that honey is a predigested food and there's nothing any healthier for the body than the honey, and especially the honeycomb. Now, Bible says here, pleasant words. Pleasant words what? Pleasant words talk to speak and pleasant words to listen to. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. I couldn't prove this, but I believe it. I believe that people that get on the telephone and talk about people hour after hour are not as healthy as people that don't. I believe that people that talk about ideas are physically healthier than folks that talk about people. I really believe that with all my heart. I believe that people that are not critical are healthier than people that are critical. Oh, you say, I know a man, he criticized somebody every sick day in his life. I'm talking about average. I'm talking about percentage. In the first place, you don't know how healthy he was. But I'm saying that the Bible here says pleasant words It's very plain. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, health to the bones. Now, there's some little phrase in that verse that we're going to find running through all these verses, and I want you to try to find it. Look back, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 30. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 30. Read it out loud, please, if you would. A sound heart. Am I wrong? I'm sorry, I am wrong. Ready? The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. Well, there are no fat people here, just folks got big bones, that's all. I mean, Brother Kenny, he's just one big bone, that's all he is. He's not fat. But the Bible says, now get this now, a good report maketh the bones fat. A good report. Now, that means if you give good reports, you'll be healthier than you don't. That means if you only listen to good reports. You've heard me say this 10,000 times. If I've said it once, I've said it 10,000 times. I will not listen to bad reports. I will not listen to bad reports. I will not. I will not. Because I've got a computer up here. And I want only positive things to enter into that computer. And that computer affects my health. The Bible says that the light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart. And a good report maketh the bones fat. Now I'm trying to find something in these passages that have something that's in common with all the passages. Now look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Back to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Don't leave me now, because we're going to learn something after a while. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. There are two things there. One, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Number two, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. That's number three, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. That's number four. Fear the Lord. That's number five. Depart from evil. That's number six. Now what will happen if you do those six things? It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. What will be health to your navel? In all your ways acknowledging him. Now that means that if all your ways acknowledging him, you're not saying anything bad about anybody. Because it's in all thy ways. Then said, most of thy ways acknowledge him, and all thy ways acknowledge him. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Goes on and lists all these things. And says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Are you looking for that one something that's in all these passages that all seem to have in common? Let's look at another. Look at Isaiah 58, verse 11. Isaiah 58 and verse 11. I'm trying to find one common denominator, something that's in all these passages. Page 764, verse 11. Look at it carefully, please. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Who will do that? Look back at verse number 8, and I'll show you who will do it. Then shall thy light break forth in the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou shalt take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, look at me. It said, quit putting forth the finger. What that means? You did it. It's exactly what it means. I've checked every commentary I own, and every one of them, it has to do with accusing. It says, if you want to have health to your bones and health to your body, don't put forth the finger.
and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And what happened to those people? The Lord shall guide thee continually, satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. Now I want you to look at another verse in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 66, just a page or two past where we were. Verse number 14 of Isaiah 66. And when ye see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. Now, look at me. Somebody tell me something that six passages. Well, I don't turn to it. I'm going to read nothing because of time, but I want to read one more to you. Psalm 51:8. David said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Now look at me. Make me to hear joy and gladness. That's why I'm not going to hear other stuff. That's why I'm not going to hear garbage and scuttlebutt. See? Why? Make me to hear joy and gladness. Why? Well, it says right here. David said, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Now, there's something in common that runs through all of these six passages we just read. What is it? Bones. Right. Did you ever wonder why that the bones of Jesus were not broken? Oh, you say, I know, because the Old Testament said they wouldn't be broken. But did you ever wonder why God in the Old Testament said they would be broken? Because the health of the body is basically in the bones. Follow me carefully. Bones are the source of vital constituents of blood. They are the storehouse from which the calcium in blood plasma is obtained. Did you hear me? They're the storehouse. The bones are the storehouse where the blood plasma of the blood is obtained. The pores and cavities of the bone are filled with red marrow. That red marrow consists largely of red blood corpuscles in all stages of development, which means that the bones are the producers of red corpuscles. About 5 million mature red corpuscles are produced and released every second for the bones. I just shot 10 million since I said that. The red marrow of the bones, now follow me, the red marrow of the bones produces the white corpuscles which protect the body from disease. Now, you know disease. AIDS is one of them, by the way. You know diseases where the body does not fight infection. Now, what is the infection part fighter of the body? The white corpuscles. Where do the white corpuscles come from? The red marrow. Where does the red marrow come from? It comes from the cavities of the bones. You've heard people by the hundreds who've had certain diseases and they needed some bone marrow. Bone marrow. Why? So I'll tell you this, the bone marrow is that which is the health-giving agency of the blood. If I were to scratch my hand here tonight with a knife, I accidentally cut my finger and it got infected, infection came, what would happen? All over my body, little white corpuscles would say, there's trouble brewing on the left hand. And they'd all journey to that one spot where there was infection. And they'd say, let's all gather down there now. We got a problem. I wish Christians would do that. When one church gets in trouble, I thought about this very truth when Brother Olaf was going through his battles in Corpus Christi. Several of us got together and Brother Anderson and I went together and chartered a plane. He charted it. I went together with him. And we flew down to Corpus Christi, and I spoke there. And folks were there from all over the nation. You know why? Because there was infection down in Corpus Christi in the body. And God's people need to quit griping about each other and need to run to the place where the infection is and try to help each other rather than condemning each other and criticizing each other. But now, the white corpuscles that run down there to that little part of my body which is infected, where'd they come from? Red marrow. Where's red marrow come from? Cavities in the bones. The bones produce the red marrow, which produce the white corpuscles, which produces the infection-fighting agency. And that's why in so many cases people have diseases. And basically, that's what leukemia is all about. The bones are not doing their job. That's why in all six of these passages and in many others in the Bible, you'll find God says, if you do thus and so, your bones will be healthy. If you listen to good reports, your bones will be healthy. If you acknowledge Him in all your ways, your bones will be healthy. Now, He's not, you say, I'm talking about spiritual bones. I never saw a spiritual bone. And there's no such thing as a spiritual bone. The Bible says, if you think on things that are lovely and pure and right and sweet and have virtue and have praise, the Bible says, your bones will be healthy. And if your bones are healthy, your blood is healthy. And your blood, Leviticus 17:11 says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So we got to get healthy bones. How do you get healthy? I know what to do. Take a lot of calcium. Don't kid me. But you might try having a good spirit first. Oh, I take calcium. I take a calcium supplement every day. That won't be as good as not hearing bad reports. Oh, but I tell you what I drink. I drink 14 gallons of milk before breakfast every morning. And boy, I tell you, I got calcium all over me. Yeah, but that's not as good as having a cheerful disposition. The Bible says if you want to have healthy bones, it says it. We read verse after verse after verse. It says use pleasant words and only hear pleasant words. It says hear good reports and only hear good reports. It says acknowledge Him. It says humble yourself. It says fear the Lord. It says depart from evil. It says don't point the finger of accusation. It says don't participate in listening to or doing evil speaking. It says help the poor. It says have a heart that rejoices and hear what you should hear. And my Bible says it gives health to your bones, which gives health to your blood, which gives you white corpuscles, which enable you to fight infection when infection comes. I'm saying that there are people in this room tonight who are not well. Listen, you ever wonder maybe why for 20 years I haven't missed a service in preaching? Let me ask you a question. Have you missed a service because of illness in the last 20 years? Have you? Come on, have you? 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 All but two. It disproves the whole thing because the two up here are the biggest gossips on the platform. There goes the whole Bible study tonight. But there's got to be a reason. Now, I may be sick next Sunday morning, but if I am, you rest assured, I had a big time on the telephone Saturday night. And it might be worth it. But anyway, I mean, look, I'm no physical specimen. You can tell that. And I am as convinced as I am that I'm standing here tonight that one of the reasons I haven't missed a Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night in 20 years, I'm going to have missed a speaking engagement anywhere in America for 20 years because I was sick. I wonder maybe if the fact that I don't listen to evil reports has something to do with that. I wonder if the fact that I have a merry heart has something to do with that. Some of you grouches, you might better check your health record. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm simply trying to tell you what the Bible says. Bible says that pleasant words, good reports, acknowledging Him, humbling yourself, fearing the Lord, departing from evil, not pointing the finger of accusation, good speaking, helping the poor, a heart that rejoices,
hear what you should hear. Gives you healthy bones. One place says makes your bones fat. One place that makes your bones healthy. One place says gives marrow to your bones.
Now, a person's mental outlook can affect the bones, which affect the blood, which is the life of the flesh. Now, I want you to look and see how the health of your bones can be adversely affected. Please turn to Proverbs 11:30. I'm sorry, 14:30. Proverbs 14:30. Somebody calls you and says, "Boy, I got something juicy I want to tell you." Do you know there's a little doojigger on that telephone? You push it down, it'll end the conversation. Look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. Read it out loud. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. There it is. Envy. By the way, the word envy there is a big word which includes lust. Actually, the word could be called passion. Lust, temper, envy. Bible says, make the bones rotten. That's what it says. Is the Bible the Word of God or not? If it is, then envy and hot temper. He said, "Well, I just got temper I can't control." You got bones you're not going to control either. Because it's not just a Bible fact. Even heathen doctors know that people that have hot tempers are not as healthy as folks have even dispositions. You know of the psychological illnesses and you know of the cases of people. What one doctor told me that probably 90% of his patients didn't need to come. It's all because of their disposition and mental problems. Temper. It says here it makes rotten the bone. Now look, that means if you've got a temper you don't control, that means that your bones won't be healthy. That means your blood won't be healthy. That means your white corpuscles will not fight the infection. Look, if you would please, to Psalm 102, verse 5. Psalm 102, verse 5. Read it, please. Page 648, Psalm 102, verse 5. Ready? By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. Sound like some bones are in bad shape. Why? Groaning. It means complaining, groaning. The word means a complaining groan. Oh, my soul! My husband goes to college at 7 and comes back and kisses the baby and spanks me and goes to work at 2 o'clock and doesn't get home till late. Now I'm sick and tired of this. You also got bone problem. You've got bone marrow problem. I'm talking about physical bone marrow problem. You've also got blood problem, which means you've got fighting infection problem. Bible. Look at Job chapter 4, verse 14. Job chapter 4, verse 14. Read it out loud, please. Page 572, Job 4:14. Ready? Fear came upon me and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. What caused the problem in the bones? Fear, trembling. Look at Job 19 and 20. Job 19 and 20. Verse 19, 19, 19, 20. Look at verse 19. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. Now what did that cause? My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Look, if you would, to Job 30, verse 17. Job 30, verse 17. Once again, now Job is in this condition of pride, backsliding. Look at Job 30, And verse 17, my bones are pierced in me in the night seasons, and my sinews take no rest. Look at Job 33:19. Page over, 33:19. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread and his soul dainty meat. What's he saying? He has lost his appetite. Why? Because his bones are sick. Why? Because of his pride. Look at Psalm 38, verse 3. You have the same thing about Job. Psalm 38, verse 3, I think, is about Job. Job was proud. Remember those when God came to Job and listed all the things that God had done and said, Job, you're not so hot. Look at all I've done. Did you ever cause it to rain? Did you ever cause the snow to fall? Did you ever make a rainbow? Did you ever make a horse? Did you ever cause a bird to fly? Did you ever make a fish to swim? Did you ever make a river? Did you ever make a tree? Did you ever make a flower? Job was proud, and it says in verse 3, there is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. What sin? Sin of pride. What sin? Look at Psalm 109, verse 8, verse 17. Psalm 109, verse 17. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. Now this is talking about, this isn't talking about dirty brick back a lumber box flat rib. This isn't talking about cursing with you, saying bad words. This is talking about cursing people. This is talking about ill will toward people and ill speaking of people. Where opposite to blessing, you bless people, you brag on people, you talk good about people, you don't talk negative, talk positive. It says, as he loved cursing, so let it come to him. As he delighteth not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, like as with his garment, so let him come into his bowels like water and like oil into his bones. Hey, I mentioned this Sunday. Remember the story when they were having this funeral service one time and Elijah's grave was open? And all of a sudden, some folks came up and they decided to bury this guy in a hurry and stuck him in there on top of Elijah's bones. Now, Elijah had been dead quite a while. Elijah's bones were in there. And this dead man fell on Elijah's bones, and Elijah's bones still had some health. He was dead, but his bones still healthy. I mean, God had decided it's time to take Elijah to heaven. But Elijah didn't go to heaven because he had bad bones. And this fellow, Elijah's bones were so healthy, this fellow came back to life. You remember 1 Corinthians, we won't turn to it, but 1 Corinthians 11:30 says, don't eat or drink the cup unworthily, the Lord's Supper. It says, many sleep among you, and many are sick. Why? Because they take the Lord's Supper unworthily. Why? Because there's something wrong in their hearts. Bible said, examine yourself. You think you mean examine to see if you got an ingrown toenail before you take the Lord's Supper? He wasn't talking about examine yourself physically. You think he said, examine to see if your hair's falling out? If your hair's falling out, you shouldn't take the Lord's Supper? Take your temperature, and if you got temperature over 98.6, don't take the... No, he's saying examine right here. Right here. Examine it! What's in there? What is it? He said, examine yourself. Now, he said, many of you are sick or die. Now, wait a minute. I don't think that's a judgment of God. God said, look at those people taking the Lord's Supper. I'm going to strike them sick or strike them dead. No. No. The same thing that causes you not to be, or us not to be worthy to take the Lord's Supper also causes us not to be well. It makes the bones sick. I'm saying, as I said last week when I spoke to you on Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Some of those words says, whatsoever things are holy,
whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are of a good report, there be any virtue, be any praise, think on these things. See, bread makes you healthy, but that isn't all that makes you healthy. Now follow me carefully. Bread is the food for the body, right? The Word of God is food for the spirit, right? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth. Now what's the food for the soul? Your thought life. The condition of your mind, your thought life, your heart condition. That's the food for the soul. But if your soul is not healthy, it affects your body. And what God is saying here is, I want you to be healthy. I want you to be well. And he said, if you have these problems, it goes right to the root of all your problems. Listen, I've had 15 people in this church in the last 2 months at least to come to me talking about bone marrow. Transplant, they call it that, transplant. Well, now, let me make it very plain. Because a person's sick and has bone problem does not mean that he's done these negative things. Some of the dearest, sweetest people I have ever known in my life suffer. And I'm not saying that because you're sick that you have a bad spirit or you have a bad disposition. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that there is one reason that people are sick, needlessly, is when they fill the mind, which is the computer, with negative things. And that mind is filled with things that are negative. I'm talking about there's a physical look. Look out! Now, wait a minute. You look out. The entire body tenses up. Tenses up. You can't stay that way. That affects your body. It affects your heart. It affects your stomach. I've been tense all week. Oh. You know what I can do? I don't have an ulcer, but I have something that affects me the same way. I have a church. I'll tell you what I can do. I was out in Phoenix, Arizona the other day, and I wanted a Mexican dinner. I wanted one for breakfast, lunch, and supper. But I had one while I was out there. That's five less than I wanted. But at noon on Tuesday, the pastor, whose name was Mr. Enchilada or something like that, he took me, he was a Mexican man, and he took me to eat that. Where's Elmer? He's homesick. But he took me to a real old greasy Mexican restaurant. Not one of these sissy taco places. And man, I had it all. I don't mean taco salad. I don't mean lettuce with a little chili sprinkled on top of it. I don't mean that. I mean like it is down there where you live. I mean, I can go down, I can go to places, and if I'm relaxed, I can eat it all. I'm talking about the jalapeno. I'm talking about the hot sauce. I'm talking about it all. I can eat it all. But you let me go right after the deacon's meeting. I'm just kidding. But but the truth is, I'm serious about this now. You let me get all tensed up and go out and eat one of those places. Okay, I can go better than that. I have a hiatal hernia. I can eat if I'm relaxed. I can eat and swallow anything. You have one? Then when you're relaxed, you can swallow anything. If I get all tense, if I eat, if I go from a pastor's school meeting and rush to my office, and somebody has me, like I think Sandy Shellhart not long ago brought me some stew and had some little hunks of meat, I can go in there and grab that. If I rush right out of there, I'll get hung right there. I'll get hung. What's the difference? Affects. How about the Mexican food? Affects. And when you affect You affect most of me. Oh, if we just believe the Bible. If we just believe the Bible. Talk about Jesus. Talk about good things. You got to sit down and talk to somebody. Don't tell garbage. Tell something good and positive. I was thinking about this little, and I'm not going to get messed up with it, this little baby chick stuff. You reckon the Hamantines might like to also know that every I don't know how many, I didn't know about it. I didn't know gave them out. I'm not against it, but as a kid, everybody gave them out. Of course, the funny thing about it, they say it's wrong to give them out, but they say we'll have to put them all to sleep. You're going to kill them. That's capital punishment. Same liberal crowd. How about I don't get off on that? No, I don't want to get off on that. Now I forgot what I was going to say. What was I talking about? I know I was talking about Jake before that. Yeah. Yeah. Wonder why Hammond Times doesn't stop say, a child was given a baby chick. Any strange? All they hear is a baby chick. They never thought about the child. A child came to Sunday school. A child got loved. A child got cared for. A child got to hear the Word of God. A child will probably get shoes on his little cold feet, which the Hammond Times wouldn't do. They have to wrap newspaper around them. Trot your coats on cold backs out, Hammond Times. No, they're not worried about it. They're worried about causing people to get all uptight and negative. And I guarantee you it's doing more to hurt the health of this area than all of the fellows that are putting poison in the bottles of Tylenol. How dumb we are. How dumb we are. Why don't you decide? Why don't you yourself decide tonight that you're going to get this computer up here and fill it with good. I haven't read an article about that baby chick mess yet. I'm not going to. I got a Bible. Why should I read that stuff? I haven't talked to any reporters yet. Not going to. I got some guys up here I enjoy talking to. I don't think they're all out and gone tonight. But I enjoy them. I'm not gonna fill my mind with that. Why? Because I want my bones to be healthy. Why? Because I want my blood to be healthy. Why? I might scratch my hand tonight. Shall we stand, please?